All right. Now we can turn the microphones on and actually let people hear what we've been saying. Because, you know.
Yes.
All right.
Because surely there was no recording of it later.
Surely. You know what I really fear is the blooper reel when eventually I leave this freaking place. My blooper reel is going to be stunning. Anyway.
It's going to be epic.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kai Rosdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And I'm Kimberly Adams. Thanks for joining us on this Monday, April 29th. And welcome back, Kai. We missed you.
Thank you. I missed you guys, too. I was in, I don't know if you gave people the skinny. I was up in Alaska doing some reporting up there. I was in Point Barrow, the northernmost place in the United States, where it was 5 degrees and 30 knots of wind coming off the Arctic Ocean. I literally walked on the Arctic Ocean because it was so frozen. It was kind of wild.
That's cool, though.
It was kind of wild.
That's cool. That's a flex.
It was very cool. I will also point out, though, that Jake Cherry, our engineer who was up there, who stayed actually to go skiing or snowboarding. I used to be a snowboarder. We were outside on the top of an atmospheric observatory, literally at Point Barrow. And he was outside for 5 minutes and his shotgun microphone froze and stopped working. So, yeah. Yeah,
well,
so there was that.
You know, now we can tell Jeff Peters the upper and lower limits.
we got limits. That's right. All right. Anyway, let's do some news, and then we'll do some smiles, and you get to go first.
Okay, so I have a news item and then some context for it. So the Biden administration on Friday released some new regulations, you know, my favorite things, basically saying that if you want government money for medical-related things, that is from CMS, for Medicaid programs, hospitals, doctors, insurance plans, you now have to expand the sex discrimination rules to include LGBTQ plus Americans. So the Trump administration specifically excluded transgender people from non-discrimination protections under the Affordable Care Act. And this new rule restores those protections and also expands them a little bit further. It's broader than, I'm reading here from the 19th News, it's broader than the Biden administration's initial policy proposal, as it refers less often and less explicitly to sexual orientation and gender identity, while still laying a foundation to protect against LGBTQ plus discriminations. Potential exemptions for religious groups are also more easily obtainable under the new rules, although not as extensive as they could have been. This, using Medicare and Medicaid funding and all these kinds of things, is the same way that the federal government stopped discrimination in hospitals against Black people, because you used to have, like, Black hospitals and white hospitals, and at one point in some communities, Black people, like, set up their own ambulance services because they were facing this kind of discrimination. And so the federal government basically said, integrate your hospitals or you can't get federal funding anymore. And so this same civil rights era law that makes that happen, they are tweaking these regulations to make it more expansive and to cover so that when queer folks and trans folks go into the doctor's office, they should not face discrimination for their health issues. And if they do, it could put the funding of that, you know, medical facility in jeopardy. So that's the overall news item. I'm sure there will be many lawsuits. There are already religious groups in the Heritage Foundation lined up against this. They want broader religious exemptions, among other things. But you may have noticed a large number of regulations coming down the pipeline recently. We've talked on here about the new nursing home rules, about the new Title IX rules, and because I like regulation stories, I'll be probably talking about more. But there are indeed more of them happening right now, and that is because we are coming up on a deadline in mid to late May for the Congressional Review Act. So basically, at the beginning, when there's an election, and, you know, the House and Senate may flip or whatever, they can look back on any regulation that was filed like 60 days before the last Congress adjourned and overturn that with like a simple majority. And so when the control of the House or the Senate flips, well, particularly the House usually is when this is most relevant. When control of Congress flips, one of the things they like to do is go back and undo the previous administration's regulations. Trump did this quite a bit because a lot of people did not expect him to win. And so they were not as cognizant of this deadline when it came to regulations. And so when he came in with Republicans, they were able to roll back a lot of regulations. And when something is undone by the Congressional Review Act, it basically stops you from reissuing a similar rule in the future. So it's a pretty big deal. And the estimates are that in order to beat that CRA look-back provision, as it's called, the Biden administration needs to get all of its new regulations in by May the 22nd. So we're about to see even more regulations coming down the pipeline. And even though they know they're going to get sued for many of them, they want to get those on the books before they hit that deadline.
That's a good little tidbit of information from our senior Washington correspondent about how things actually work. That's a good little tidbit. Amen.
Yes. So when you see like this deluge of regulations, it's not because everybody in Washington is a regulatory nerd like me. It's because of this.
Politics.
What's your news?
So mine's equally dorky, but on a different topic. Two articles in major newspapers today about foreign exchange, the foreign currency markets, and what it means. The Wall Street Journal has a story about the Bank of Japan intervening in the foreign exchange markets to strengthen the yen, which is at a 34-year low against the dollar. And then the New York Times has a piece about the strength of the dollar globally, why it matters, and what it may be doing. And this is super weedy, but it's really important, and here's why. And I'll read from the Times article for just a little bit. The dollar is on one side of nearly 90% of all foreign exchange transactions. A strengthening U.S. currency, inflation intensifies inflation abroad as countries need to swap more of their own currencies for the same amount of dollar-denominated goods. That includes imports from the United States, as well as globally traded items, including, oh, by the way, oil, right? Oil is dollar-denominated, unless you're like Russia and China swapping Russian oil, right? But when things are dollar-denominated, you need more dollars to pay for them, and so you have to get them at the risk of your own currency. It's also challenging for American companies because when the dollar is super strong, their goods for export seem and are more expensive on the global market, and that is challenging for companies that depend on exports. So don't sleep on foreign currency right now. And look, politicians and some Treasury secretaries will say, we want a strong dollar. And they do to a point. When the dollar is as strong as it is now globally, and it's strong now globally because the American economy is the strongest economy in the world coming out of the recession. We are by miles the strongest developed economy in the world for a whole lot of reasons, which is a whole different podcast. But people want dollars, right? They get more interest on their dollars here, right? The Federal Reserve now is the world's central bank, like literally practically in effect as opposed to just, you know, nominally as we talk about it most of the time. Do not sleep on the foreign exchange markets. It's a very big deal.
And for folks who've been wondering why it seems like everybody on your social media feed is vacationing in Japan,
this is why. Exactly. That's why. And also, look, the euro's close to parity. The British pound is weaker in value. I mean, take your currency. You can get it for cheap now, you know?
So there's this Instagram account I follow that just hurts my feelings all the time. It's called Cheap Houses Japan.
Oh, man.
And it's basically these beautiful abandoned homes in Japan because they have declining birth rates and their countryside is emptying out. And so they'll show these beautiful historic homes, compounds that are like $25,000, $50,000. And it's just, and they're beautiful. And some of them have like views of the ocean or the Seto Inland Sea or something like that. And I just look at it and I'm just like, man, if I spoke Japanese, if I could work from Japan, if they didn't have some, you know, problematic cultural things related to race, you know, if only.
Yeah, for sure.
The houses are so cheap.
Holy
anyway.
Cow. All right, let's do something else. Come on, Carla.
So I saw you had a cat story.
I almost left it for you, but then I said, nah, I'm early. I'm taking it.
That's okay, because I had a separate cat story, right, which matches up because I currently have a two-cat household because I'm watching Yuki, who I'm sure will make his feelings about the issue known at some point during the show. But recently, we had a visit in D.C. from one of our former interns, Maya Marshall-Hoff, who used to be our D.C. Bureau intern, but who now is working for USA Today in Nebraska as a fellow. And covering the election and everything like that. And she shared with us a story that she had done on Nebraska's capital cat. And I need to read the headline. Yeah. Nebraska's capital cat brings positivity with P-A-W to politics. And it says, Nebraska lawmakers, legislative staff, and lobbyists start their day by walking into the state capitol building to introduce bills, debate policy reform, and if they're lucky, be greeted by their favorite political animal, Cameron the Capital Cat. The dark brown and black striped tabby, who does have a home just a few blocks away, is usually seen lounging around the south and west doors of the state house, awaiting pets and treats regardless of party affiliation.
Cats don't care. They'll take the treats.
They will take the treats. They will take the pets. That's and awesome. It's a very cute cat. So that entertained me, and it's nice to see our one of our former interns doing
well. Totally. That's very cool. That's very cool that she got that gig. Okay, so mine also cat-related, and it's also a little bit human-related. So there's a piece in the New York Times today. Stowaway cat gets from Utah to California in Amazon returns package. These people had been packing up some work boots. Somehow their cat jumped into the box, and they took it to the returns place and shipped it off with the cat in the box. And it was, you know, five pair of big, heavy work boots, so they didn't notice the extra weight of a cat. 5 days later, the cat shows up when they open the returns box at the Amazon Center in Utah. The cat is fine, a little bit dehydrated. Apparently, a piece of tape had come loose on the outside of the packaging, which is how air got in there. Cat's fine. Galena has been reunited with her her family. That struck me because, let's see, she's 17 now. When our daughter was about a year and a half old, I was packing for a trip to Baltimore. And back in the day, when my kids were really little, I used to take the red eye all the time because, number one, I was younger and I could take the red eye and not have it kill me. But number two, you want to be home with your kids as much as you can. So I was packing for a red eye. It was like 8 o'clock at night. And our daughter is sitting in my suitcase playing with what I later came to discover were my wife's car and house keys. So I'm packing. I get to the point where I have to close the suitcase. I pick Liv up and I put her on the floor or wherever I put her. I don't remember. I'm the terrible parent. Can't remember what I do with my child. Close up the suitcase. I get on the red eye. And the next morning I get to my hotel in Baltimore and I'm unpacking my suitcase. And there are my wife's house and car keys. And we don't have a spare set of keys for that car. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That must have That What'd was, you
I
do? Was,
she actually, I think she borrowed her sister's car. Her sister lives around the corner from us. I was not the most popular guy in the house at that point. Let me just tell you. leaving her with four young children and no car.
Huh. Oh, boy.
There you go. All right.
Fun. But that, you survived. Marriage survived.
Everybody's fine. Marriage survived. The kids are growing. Everybody's fine. Yeah.
Everybody's fine. Yeah. And we're all fine.
That's right.
All right. Well, now that we have our full dose of cat news for the week, that is it for us today. Tomorrow, we're going to have our weekly deep dive. Now, last week, we heard from a listener who's gotten smarter about the history of the U.S. trade deficit, and a bunch of other listeners had follow-up questions. So tomorrow, we are all going to get smarter about the trade deficit, why we have one, what it means for the health of the economy. It's going to be super interesting. Do not miss it. And the dollar plays a role in this, too.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We used to have an underwriting credit that basically was foreign exchange trading carries risk, and it used to air after an ad for bourbon, Evan Williams bourbon. And so our tagline around the shop was, well, let's get drunk and trade foreign exchange. Anyway, Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergsicker. Today's program was engineered by Juan Carlos Torrado. Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Our intern is Thalia Menchaca.
Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. There's no way I'm going to make it. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesco Levy is the executive director of digital. It's okay.
I think you were close.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, Well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.